Okay, so again, so far we've seen in terms of dealing with the Gemara Ksuvos on Nun Beis, the Doraisa, it's either just a remez for the Meiri, it's Nesmachta, Lechamishta for the Rambam. The Yad Eitan there said, okay, maybe go a little bit further, maybe Nesmachta is a little bit unsatisfying, so it's at least enough to sort of like neutralize the Doraisa, right? The natural pathway of the Doraisa is for, you know, Yerusha Sabal, and then for Yerusha Saben. But, you know, these considerations are significantly important for us to sort of circumvent, but at least redirect the Din Doraisa. The Ran says it's Divrei Kabbalah, and we're trying to argue that maybe there's some evidence that it's actually, especially based on the Ran says it's Divrei Kabbalah, but if the whole point is Iyi Minolan De L'Mechaiva is really rooted in the fact that she's not obligated in the period of Erivya, maybe Lahasio Isha is actually a reflection of your own chiyuv of Piriya Virivya. So what I tried to do is try to put together some evidence that could, you know, defend this proposition. Okay, so Chananda was a very well done yesterday. So, Itabok, do you want to do the honors? Okay. So this is the Shiltos of Rav Achai Gaon. I think this is striking. This is just the Shilta part before he gets to his whole Arichos here, but the Shilta itself is provocative, I think. Bani, right? How do we know? They really have to do it, you know? Right, that's the context of, you know, Bnei Noach, V'tem Pru Revu, Shir Tzuva Ara to Revu Va. So, admittedly, the Shiltos is dealing with one's personal obligation, but what all of a sudden became the Makor for Piriya Virivya? Of all things? For the Shiltos? KD? What's that? Saying what's the makor that Jews have to be mekayim in the mitzvah period of Arivia? Yeah, the Psukim in Yirmiyah. I think that's pretty strong evidence that we haven't proven yet to take this one level down, but the Shiltos is already putting us, you know, right then and there. He's saying that period of Arivia, you know, is really the impetus, right? Obviously, the context was you're not coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, we're obviously trying to push it one step further, like one generation further, but I think the Shiltos is a very good point of departure. So now we get into the halachic discussion. It's, you know, things that we'd rather not even think about, but we have to for purposes of halacha, and especially for this sukkah. Yeah, so go ahead, Eitan. Right, so you have this fundamental machlokes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan what the nature of the mitzvah period of Rivya is. So Rav Huna says you have an incredible tragedy that strikes, right? You don't even want to think about it, but there's no rolling back the kiyam of period of Rivya. Why? Mishim de Ravasi, Dam Ravasi, and Ben David Ba. Okay, so that basically means that the idea of period of Arivia is to bring the Shamos into the world. And I have to say, this could be a very comforting idea and a very real idea for somebody who loses a child who was really too young to make a contribution, Shelo Neda, but that Neshama had to come into the world for broader eschatological purposes, Ein Ben David Ba, Ad Sheyichlu Kol Neshamos Shebaguf. What we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Loki and Pirivya, because it's not just about sort of, you know, bringing Neshamos into the world. Right, so we need, you know, the whole point of Pirivya is that those children should. Okay, it doesn't mean that your kid has to win a Nobel Prize for you to be Mekayim Pirivya, you know, you know, they have to make some, you know, constructive contribution, Lashav Esitzara. That's part of the anguish of what we were just talking about, right? V'halakha, and that hasn't happened. So then the Gemara says, but isn't there like a sort of a backstop? Mesve. So here we have this huge machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, how to interpret this clause. Kitanya hi lahashlam. So let's first distill the machlokas outside, then we'll see it inside. So what's Rashi's view of lahashlam? That b'nei vanim harayim kivanim can be used, in other words, your own chiyuv daraisa period v'rivya can sort of be toleva omed, it's sort of hanging in the balance, right? But in terms of generation one, you guys took biology, right? F1. So F2, okay, it's hanging in the balance until F2, right? If anybody loses the jargon, just stop me. Okay, and Rashi's view there is, let's say a person only had a son or only had a daughter, but that son or daughter has a grandchild of the opposite gender. For Rashi, that's a kiyum of period virivia. Moreover, Rashi says, if you actually had a son and a daughter, then, and then, you know, something horrible happens, right? So, you are Mekayim. The Rambam disagrees on both counts, right? Like the simple reading of the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So what does the Rambam say? That for B'nai Vanim to have any meaning, what do you first have to do?
You need to have a son and a daughter, and they both have to be able to have children.
Right, exactly. And your chiyuv of period virivia, which is, again, presumptively fulfilled, right, isn't completely fulfilled if they don't. So the Rambam says, lahashlim b'nei vanim harem kivanim, means that if the F2 produces a son and a daughter. Now, again, the son can come from your daughter, and the daughter can come from your son, your granddaughter and your grandson. It doesn't have to be ben min haben, ubas min habas, because there's no logic to support that. But for the Rambam, especially, like, what should a person really be trying to do if they're interested in their chiyuv of period virivia? Have their children get married, right? This is not like an altruistic thing. I think we'll get to maybe more altruistic representations of that. But Lasio Isha seems inextricably linked with the idea of securing a presumptive kiyum of Piria Virivia. Now, for Rashi, admittedly, that's neutralized, right? What's Rashi going to say about the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Huna? Maybe he's going to say, Rav Huna was only talking about a situation where they didn't make any contribution, right? Lashevis Yitzara, Ba'inan V'haleka. But if they live full lives, you know, I think that's probably what Rashi has in mind. So, okay, let's document that point, and then I want to, you know, really be able to land this plane. Okay, so go ahead, Eitan. You said it perfectly outside. Right. Presuming that there was some kiyum of Lasheves Yitzara, you know, along the way, maybe just not in terms of producing progeny. That would be the easiest way to reconcile that with Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Huna. The Rambam, of course, disagrees on both counts. So, Kama banim yula ish, it's kaimis is obiado. So, first of all, they have to have the potential for progeny. Which is really a very beautiful idea, but, you know, the devil's in the details. So the Rambam understood Lahashlim, not like Rashi did, like if, you know, you hadn't yet fulfilled it, but now sort of the grandchildren in that generation can save the generation of the children. Lahashlim is almost like tachas avosecha yubanecha, right? That you had a zachar and a keva configuration, And the Bnei Vanim, Hariyam Kivanim, gives you a new Zachar Nekeva configuration. That was the Rambam's understanding. It's a completely different understanding of Lahashim. So either way, Lashitas Rashi, if you only have a Ben or a Bas, you better be all over Lahasio Isha, if you're interested in Piri Virivya, and I think we should be interested, right? Asakti be Piri Virivya. And for the Rambam, right, even having a Zachar Nekeva isn't going to do the trick because, you know, again, I don't want to be, you know, ghoulish or pessimistic, but, you know, you want to really secure, you know, the next generation. It's really it's a very heavy kind of a thing. So, you know, that itself, just from a purely halachic standpoint, may justify the shiltos. Right? Let's take a look at the Bamidbar Rabbah, which puts it in even more explicit terms. Then I want to get to the Maskil of David, which is a super commentary on Rashi written by Ezra Leibowitz. You know, he thought he could throw people off by calling it Maskil of David, but yeah. And then we'll come back to the Yerushalmi for the coup de grace, as I like to call it. Okay, so let's see the Bamidbar Rabbah here. So, you know, I love this very much. The idea of mitzvah sabein ala av is really the halach to bidracha, right? This is exceptionally beautiful material. Kishem shav chayiv lamolos b'no kachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Okay, so I don't know anything right now, at least, that I find more poignant than this medrash, right? It says that being a father, really, there's two dinim in being a father. One of them is very much mevi'o l'chai olam hazeh, and in olam hazeh terms, that's the safe. Av zokok lipno, l'achilo l'ashkoso, l'rachso l'asucho l'albisho. Right? You should be involved in the feedings. Right? Ula hashkoso, and l'rachso. Right? I'm very proud to say. So run home from night seder. It's bath time. Bath time is a contact sport. I usually end up losing, especially because it comes along with vitamins and brushing teeth. But I walk into Maariv at the shul looking like I've been beaten pretty badly. And people have noted that to me, and they say, "You should have seen where I was." But that's what you have to do, right? L'achilo l'ashkoso l'rachzo l'asucho l'halbisho. That's the pajamas. Your foot always goes into the wrong leg, right? If my wife weren't home, I would leave it on backwards, but it doesn't fly, okay? It's pajama pants. They're basically reversible. V'chein asa kadosh baruch hu. So that too, right? These are the psukim that, by the way, we read from this section during the Haggadah. This is the whole section of Avar Leich Verich, V'nei Ad Mitzvoseses B'damayich, So that too is velach de bedrachav. When you care for young children, right? So that's, you know, that's part of velach de bedrachav. But before that, right? The lamulo, the ftoso, lamdo Torah, the lamdo umnus, and lahasio isha. That's mevi'o olam hazeh, but more like mevi'o olam hazeh in the sake of olam haba, creating a spiritual next link in the masorah. So again, how do we know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, La Sio Isha, when a father gets involved in that, what mitzvah does that relate to? Don't take it from me. Right? It's black on white. Piri Virivya. That's amazing. So I think the Gemara and Kesuvos can be defended right off the bat. You have the Shiltos, which is what Chazal seemed to say. We'll get to the Yerushalmi in a little bit. Right, you had that Rashi lingering from yesterday. You have the Ran, right? The Ran says, well, wait a minute. She can't be obligated in marrying off her children because she's not Mitzuva and Periyah V'Rivya anyway. It's like Ma'inyan Hishmita Yitzal Har Sinai. Unless you understand that the Mechayiv of Lahasio is a Din in Periyah V'Rivya. And it could very well be a Din in Periyah V'Rivya. We don't like to think about these cases, but in a very self-serving way. What do I mean by self-serving? Like, if you really want to be Mekayim in Periyah V'Rivya, so according to Rashi, Lahashlam means you get a second crack at it. And according to Rambam, it means even if you think that you've, you know, satisfied your obligation, you never really know. Okay, now I saved this. I'm going to come back to the Yerushalmi. Eitan, do you mind if we just throw this over to Ezra since he authored it? Yeah. Amazingly, in the 18th century, under the pseudonym of David Pardo, he's one of the super commentaries in Rashi from the 18th century, Ezra Leibowitz. So he's like totally confounded by this. Avram Zaken Baba Yamin Vashem Birachas Avram Bakol, you know, Me'achar Shayelo Bein Chayev Lasioisha. Like, what does that mean? Is it just, you know, he's telling us the Gemara in Kiddushin? Is he just explaining to us, oh, by the way, you know, this is what Parshas Chayisara is about? He didn't trust us to read ahead. So what's this? Okay, so go ahead, Ezra. Dim lo kein. So he says, on the contrary, Chayisara would be inscrutable. Like, what does it mean? Vashem birachas Avram bakol. And then vayomer lav, there's a kind of beso, avosha b'chol asher lo, sindo yad chatach asirechi, v'asiso yimadi chesed v'mes, right? You know, v'lakachta isha livni, you can't do that. Right? What? It's only because he had this special bracha. Bizarre. What does the pasuk mean? So that's what Rashi is coming to tell us. Oh, that Avram Avinu, Hashem Birachas Avram Bakol, Bakol means a ben, and there's a mitzvah, but what's the nature of the mitzvah? Oh! Yeah. So he thinks, right, that the chiyuv lasio isha is somehow rooted in, yeah, Periyah V'Rivya. Me'achar shahaya lo ben chayav lasio isha. That's part of, that's what I like to say, it's the me'achar. It's the, you know, it's the same impetus. Having the son and marrying off the son are b'chadamachta, they come at the same time, because the whole point isn't just to have a son, but is to propagate things forward. Right? That's just an expression of this idea. Maybe it really is a Doraisa. The Shiltos, the Ran, Rashi according to the Maskil of David, the straight Halacha from the Gemara in Yevamos, the Bamidbar Rabba, and now, I think maybe, in some sense, the most poignant of all, the Yerushalmi. Back to you, Eitan. So according to the Yerushalmi, it was Rabbi Kiva who was, you know, responsible for those swimming lessons. No surprise to see Rabbi Yishmael popping up there, right? Tanik v'hen minak derech eretz. It's good chazara, right? Rabbi Shmuel, right? He had his license plate. He had 7 characters, right? The license plate, 7. Right. Get a job. 1 word. Which really confirms what we saw in the Bavli, right? That it's chiyusehu l'man tichya ta v'zarecha. So you got to know how to swim. We don't think that you know have to know how to climb Mount Everest or Kilimanjaro, you know, or you know what's popular amongst you guys, axe throwing. That's a new one. Axe throwing in my day was more like a hechi timsi for rotech bishgaga. Now it's an activity. Get the Shabbaton itinerary. Motei Shabbos, axe throwing, you know, Sunday morning, visit the Yer Miklat, you know. visit classmates in the Yer Miklat. But okay. So the Yerushalmi says, Lasio Isha, so that's part of not just period of Erivia, like Greda, but Yodat L'Menach V'Evanecha. So, you could take this in a practical sense if you want to see your grandchildren, right? So, it's good to, you know, sort of have children a little bit younger. just thinking about this wonderful fellow on the west side that I used to learn with when I was a rabbinic intern, rabbi there for many years. So, he was always getting on my case about getting married, you know, like yesterday. He says, "What do you want? What do you want? At your grandchildren's wedding in a wheelchair?" So I said, you know, I haven't been thinking about that so much. Just wanted to, like, find the right person. You'll be in a wheelchair. Take it from me. So in any event, you can take it in a practical way. When are you going to see? Right? Maybe this would have been a smarter answer for me to come up with, and just say, no. You know, I'm planning on taking my time, but my kids, they'll be married off by, like, you know, 13, so, you know, I can make up time in the air. Didn't occur to me. So you can take it in a practical sense. But I obviously think that the Yerushalmi is much more in mind, right? La Sio Isha, right, that, right, speaks to what we're really after here, not just your Chi of Piri Verivia Greda, but it speaks to the idea that what you're trying to do is generate not just one, right, mitzvah sabein ala'av, is not just one generation, lamulo, liftoso, lamdu torah, lamdu umnos, lahasio isha, but you're actually beginning your obligation in terms of forming that next generation. Ve'odatim levanecha, v'livnei vanecha. Ad heichan chayav adam alamidis bino torah, kizvulun bendan, shalimdo, Avi, Aviv, Mikna, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachos, Agados, right? So there is this idea, right, of Lasio Isha being not just the last on the list, but almost like the one that catalyzes the cycle all over again. I'll go back to the biology metaphor. This is the positive feedback loop. Lamulo, Liftoso, Lelamdo Torah, Lelamdo Umnus, Lehasio Isha, Lahasio Isha v'seiladna, so that he can do lamulo, right? Liftoso, lalamdo Torah, you'll jump in there. V'odatim levanecha livnei vanecha, right? Restart the cycle. Lalamdo umnus, right? And then lahasio Isha all over again. So being a link in the chain of the Masora, right, you can reach down, like maybe even past the next chain, but to the two chains. I think that is a really interesting way of going beyond just, you know, Chiyav period of the Rivia Greda. Okay, Ezra.
Then wouldn't it make sense to say Hailu Vanim or Hailu Ben Vishio lo isha, the amis, then that would be came with the spirit of Rivia, but without doing that.
I just missed. I think I missed the critical word. It should have said what?
That the son was married but didn't have to have, or the kids were married but didn't have to have kids himself.
And so I like it better the way that it's written, right? And if you go back to Yirmiyah, let's go back to Yirmiyah for a second. If it's just about you should marry them off, it should say, excuse me, velidu bani muvanos. Period. Right? Lasio isha. But what does it say? Viseladna bani muvanos urivu sham. The psukim seem to be suggesting that the whole point of lasio isha, this is the, I didn't quote this as the makar in the Gemara. I didn't quote this as the makar in the Shiltos. But what's the point of marrying them off, both son and daughter? Now we can explain the expansion. Because that's intrinsic to the period of Rivia obligation. Okay, go ahead. Did I misunderstand? Is that?
I misunderstood.
Oh, okay. Good. I mean, not good, but, you know, I'm glad we clarified. So the point is, the psukim themselves are suggestive of the idea that Lahasi Oisha is inextricably linked with both your Chi of period of Rivia. So again, for the Rambam, now it makes an enormous amount of sense why you have this expansion to the Bas, because she could be the key to your period of Arivia, and for Rashi as well, for that matter. Let's say you only had a Bas, right? So Lahashlim means that if she has the Ben, so then all of a sudden you're Mikayim period of Arivia. Given that it's period of Arivia, I think the contraction makes a lot of sense, right? Because period of Arivia is always some to some degree out of our control. Ba'adei kavashi derachman olam b'lach, right? We can't control that outcome. Right, all you can do is be osek in that, right? But you know, once a person is osek, it really makes sense to go full throttle, and going full throttle means that you understand that it doesn't end with you, right? And you're going to need, right? Especially according to the Rambam, even if you have the zachar and the keva, to secure that next generation. And again, according to the Yerushalmi, it's not just about securing the next generation, but to what ends? Because it's Rodat V'Nachli V'Nacha. You have to raise up the next generation of the Masorah also, to the extent that, you know, God grants you the opportunity. We should all live, you know, Arichos Yamim V'Shanim, to have that Zechus. So in aggregate, I think that there's more than ample evidence to defend the proposition that these may be Psukim Midivrei Kabbalah, but La'asio Isha, even if it's not a chiyuv period of Virivia, it can very, very often lead to a kiyum doraisa period of Virivia. And even if, you know, al pi derech hateva, that no tragedy strikes, you know, please God, right, you're still furthering the whole point, either of Lashavis Yitzara, or, as I like to say, based on the Yerushalmi, Rodat L'Vanecha, V'Livnei Vanecha, of propagating Limud HaTorah forward. Okay, let me give Sariel the last word, and then again tomorrow, what we're going to look at is what I think are, in fairness, the outer boundaries of this idea of, like, you know, how determinate could you possibly be, right? Because sometimes your judgment is not the same as his judgment, even if you're talking about Bino B'yadu, the Tshuva of the Ma'arik. Yeah, Sariel.